Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and their worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We'll be in Lamentations 3 this morning. Lamentations was written by the prophet Jeremiah when Jerusalem was conquered by the Babylonians. Everything Jeremiah knew was gone. The nation of Israel was no more. Jeremiah would be exiled and die in another country. When you read Lamentations, you are reading Jeremiah's personal diary. He is sharing his heart and his hurt. He is called the weeping prophet for a reason, and in Lamentations, we can almost hear his sobs and see his tears. But in the middle of chapter 3, Jeremiah gives himself and us this hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. We need to remind ourselves of God's faithfulness, his compassion, and his love in the midst of difficult days. Make yourself a list and keep it close by to remind you of God's faithfulness and love. Write down those times that God sent a friend, a song played on the radio, or you felt God's peace and loving arms surround you. His mercy and love are new every morning like the rising of the sun. This Sunday we will remember our members who passed away in the last year. It's a time of honor and also a time of solemnness, but in the midst of that, we are reminded of God's promise of eternity for his saints. I hope everyone had a safe and happy Thanksgiving. May God bless you with his power and his strength this week.
Let those who fear the Lord say,
his steadfast love endures forever.
Let the people of Salem in California say,
his steadfast love endures forever.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Hadley Milligan leads our children's time.
Good morning. Who can tell me what this is? Yep. So there's nothing too exciting about a piece of fruit. But I have big plans for this apple. I'm going to turn it into a pie. I will peel it, chop it, and mix it with some other ingredients to turn it into a delicious new creation. I have another apple right here. And it might serve as a different purpose. I could cover it in caramel and nuts and turn it into a sort of candy. Or I could smash it and turn it into a juice or cider. There are many things I can do with such a simple thing. I have chosen it to fulfill an important purpose. Did you know that you were chosen to fulfill a certain purpose? You might feel like your life is simple and basic, but God has a plan for you. He has promised to bless you and provide you with special and wonderful things. In the book of Ephesians, we are reminded of the great and blessings he gives us. God chose us and had a plan for us even before the world began. How can that be? He loves us so much that he knew what our lives would be like before we were born and before Earth was created. God has adopted us into his family and calls us to be his children. God has chosen us and he will use us if we let him. It might take some work like the slicing and chopping I must do to the apple, and it might involve some people, but we aren't sure how he's going to work. Whatever happens and wherever our life path leads us, we recognize his hand is on us and we will give us anything we need. We are a part of his will and one day we will receive heaven. Anything is possible when we remember who we are in Christ. Let's say a prayer to thank God for making us part of his family. Dear God, thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for choosing us and adopting us and creating us with a purpose. Help me to follow you and know your will. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our special music is our Good Vibrations Bell Choir playing To God Be the Glory.
Thank you.
Gadermeyer reads the morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Words for the Broken and Defeated. The scripture basis is Jeremiah 1.
The first lesson this morning is Psalm 30. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast drawn me up, and hast not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to thee for help, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By thy favor, O Lord, thou hast established me as a strong mountain. Thou didst hide my face. I was dismayed. To thee, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. For what profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise thee? Will it tell of thy faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may praise thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to thee forever. This ends today's first lesson. Our second lesson this morning is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He destined us in love to be his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us. For he has made known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Thus ends today's lessons.
As I got ready for this sermon series, we're going to be looking at Jeremiah this week and Lamentations next week, both written by Jeremiah. And I was at a dinner with some fellow ministers, and one of the ministers turned to me and said, hey, what are you preaching on? And I told him, he says, you're not preaching on Thanksgiving. You're not preaching, you know, that's the time of the year. And I said, well, I said, I know. I said, but for a lot of people, Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays are not a joyful time. It's hard to be thankful. It's hard to be, you know, happy and joyful in the midst of sadness and things that have happened in the past year or just also have happened in your past, and people are no longer with you at this time to celebrate with. And when I look at the book of Jeremiah, he is called the weeping prophet. He was given a task to stand up to a nation, to stand up to the religious leaders, to stand up to his neighbors and his friends and his family, and deliver a message of repentance to a people that were disobeying God. And God told them, we're going to read the first chapter, God told them that the people are not going to listen. They are not going to respond. And when you read about the life of Jeremiah, you can see why he is called the weeping prophet. He talks about the tears that he shed. What are the things that make you cry? Maybe it's the end of a sentimental movie. You know, things that make us cry, maybe it's sadness. Maybe it's disappointment. Maybe it's excitement. Maybe it's joy at a wedding or at a graduation. You know, your firstborn is getting ready to graduate high school, and you're thinking back all the years that they've gone through. Tears come at us at a lot of different ways. And when we look at the life of Jeremiah, he had a lot to cry about. You'll see that he's thrown into prison. He's thrown into a cistern. He's put into exile in Egypt, and that will be where he dies. People do not respond to his message. In fact, when he preached one time, the king of the land came in and took his speech, took his message, tore it up, and burned it into fire. Don't get any ideas, Tony. Don't come up here and take my sermon and tear it up and throw it away. It's already been done once with Jeremiah. But the holidays for many are a time of grief and tears. And when we look at the first chapter of Jeremiah, Jeremiah gives us the pathway. He gives us the encouragement. How do we make it through those days? David read Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may last for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. David wrote that. We find that tears are a natural part of our life. It's nothing to be ashamed of. We see in Ecclesiastes 3, Solomon wrote, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. We see David, we read Psalm 30, but we see in 2 Samuel 15:30, he was the king of the land, the most powerful, needed to project an image of strength and confidence. But in 2 Samuel 15:30, we see this about David. David continued up the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went. His head was covered, and he was barefoot. All the people with him covered their heads too and were weeping as they went up. David had been betrayed by his son Absalom. He had been pushed out of Jerusalem. He was on the run, crying as he went. We see Job. If anybody had reason to be crying, it's Job. He lost everything. And he says in Job 16:16, my face is red with weeping. Dark shadows ring my eyes. Have you ever cried all night? Have you ever wept and you couldn't stop? We see Jesus, John 11:35, a lot of people's favorite verse because it's two words. Jesus wept when he saw the death of his friend Lazarus and the response of the people. It's not one, just one trickle of a tear down his cheek like that Indian that was on the, you know, the pollution commercials way back in the 70s. No, it was full weeping that you could hear Jesus. But then we see Jesus again. He weeps over the city of Jerusalem. It says, as he approached Jerusalem, it says he wept over it because he knew that they were not going to turn to God and that they were going to be destroyed by the Romans. We see Peter's tears after he had denied Jesus and locked eyes with Jesus. It says that Peter went outside and he wept bitterly. Paul talks about his tears. He says, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. When he was under attack, Paul cried. He cried tears. And when we look at the book of Jeremiah, he's into his ministry and he says, you know, my people are crushed. I'm crushed. I mourn and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? We're going to sing that song. It comes from Jeremiah. Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people. So when you cry tears of grief and sadness, you're in good company. It was a natural reaction of our Lord and many of the saints. We see Hannah when she couldn't have children, she cried tears. She wept bitterly and prayed to God at the same time. Have you ever prayed all night and cried at the same time? I have. When you sit at the bedside of someone that you love dearly and you want them to get better and see their face again, I've cried through tears of prayer. But how do we make it through those tears? How do we get to that time of rejoicing that David talks in Psalm 30? Well, Jeremiah gives us a hint. If you want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 1, if you don't want to read it now, please read it a couple times this week. When Jeremiah is called these verses here, people always like to quote verse 5. I think Becky one time, I think maybe you said, was this your memory verse? I'm trying to remember this Psalm, Jeremiah 1, 5. Someone told me that. I forget who it was. But start with verse 4. It says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Man, that's powerful. But then we forget about the rest of the life of Jeremiah. God was assigning him a task that was going to be devastatingly tough to accomplish. It was going to overwhelm him. He wasn't going to have a wife. He wasn't going to have children. He wasn't going to have descendants to pass on his name. God says, I've called you for a specific purpose. This is it. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. That sounds like Moses. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you. You're going to hear that again at the very end of this chapter. He gives them a couple visions to kind of confirm his calling. And this vision is about what's going to happen to the nation during his preaching. He's not going to have a successful ministry. He's not going to have a big church with people coming and joy everywhere. This is what he says. Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, and in worshiping what their hands have made. He's basically telling Jeremiah, everything you hold dear, the church you attend, the houses that you have, the city that you love so much, is going to be destroyed in your lifetime. The powerful, your place, you're going to be exiled, you're going to be gone. But I want you to stand up to all that and be faithful. But then this is his promise, 17, 18, and 19. Get yourself ready, says, put your big boy pants on. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Basically says, go into it with a brave heart. He says, if you go into it with fear, you're going to be fearful. He says, go into it victorious. Why? Verse 18. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you, and what? I will rescue you, declares the Lord. So what happens when your night is filled with tears, when your life seems like there's tears all around us and sadness, coming up on a time of year that there's supposed to be joy? Jeremiah tells us, and God tells him, that we are to remember our calling and our Creator. He says, I knew you before I formed you. He just didn't know your name. He just didn't know where you lived. He intimately knows us. He knows your favorite color. He knows what frustrates you. He knows the struggles that you, he knows what encourages you. He knows your favorite team. He knows what hurts you. He says, I know you intimately. But I've known you through before you were even born. I love how David writes in Psalm 139, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. When you ever think that nobody cares about you, nobody understands you, there is one person, God Himself. He knows how you tick. He knows where you're hurting and what you need to be encouraged. But then also we need to remember that He created us and made us for a purpose. The very last few verses of Psalm 139 says, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. He created you. He knit you together. He made you just the way that you are, with all the bumps, the bruises, and the scars that come along. But many of us, we ignore God's purpose in our life. We try to strike out on our own path. He tells Jeremiah, he says, you need to go where I send you and say what I want you to say. God has created each one of us for a lifetime of service, but sometimes He's created us for that one moment in life where we can change history in our life and our family's life. We just went down and saw Queen Esther last weekend. Esther was pulled from a nondescript family, brought into the household of the king for one purpose. When it came time to stand up for the people of Israel at the cost of her life potentially, Esther stood and she saved a nation. God's calling you to stand and me stand. To stand in our families, to stand in our churches, to stand in our community on God's word. Paul writes that there's going to come a time when people don't want to hear the truth anymore. They're going to gather around themselves things of people that they want to hear, the things that please them. Paul tells Timothy, you preach the word. Same thing that God is telling Jeremiah right here. And what we also see is that when God knits us together, all life is valuable. All life, in the womb and out of the womb. Our society has looked at ones in the womb, and if they don't meet a certain standard, we can do away with them. I'm here because of two Down syndrome children. In our society today, they would want to be done away with before they were ever born. But because of those two children, because of Carrie Snyder and Danny Roback, I stand in this pulpit today because of them. You go to the California Care and you go see Jimmy Ford. You want a smile on your face on the day we sang for worship there. We had worship there on Thursday. Jimmy's over there flipping the pages and he's singing. You may not understand it, but he's making a joyful noise to the Lord. You can't tell me that not all life is valuable. And God created each one of us for a purpose. But then He's also prepared us for life's journey. He knows it's going to be difficult. And he tells Jeremiah, you're going to be an iron pillar, a fortified city, a bronze wall. And he says, when things get difficult, I'm going to stand with you and I'm going to rescue you. When it seems like you're Custer on Custer's Hill and the natives are all around you, I'm going to be the cavalry that comes over the hill and saves you. I'm going to be the one that sends the person at just that right moment to pick your spirits back up. I've had people walk into my area of influence at certain times when I was really down, and God sends them in the very next day just to visit with me and talk to me, and it encourages my heart. That's God using people to rescue me from discouragement and depression. I'm not going to read it this morning, but mark down Jeremiah 20. We see in there that Jeremiah is honest with God. He shares his heart with God. And he tells him, you know, God, I don't want to do this anymore. You deceived me. I want to give up and I want to walk away. And then you see him praise God. Then you see him worship God. Then you see wishes that he had never been born. Isn't that kind of like us? One day we're up, one day we're down. 1 hour we're up, 1 hour we're down. God wants us to be honest with him. Share our heart with him. Jeremiah was going up against the most powerful people. The people that were supposedly religious turned against him. The priests, the prophets that were there, they didn't stand on his side. I remember one day in PE, a bully came up and, you know, took us off the basketball court. And I stood up to him thinking I had my buddies behind me. And when I turned, my buddies were gone. It was me and John Brewer right there in front. And I was no match for John Brewer. My buddies had deserted me at that time. Jeremiah was the same way. But look at that verse 11 of Jeremiah 20. He says, but the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their honor will never be forgotten. God tells us that he tells us to be honest with him and then to remember his faithfulness. At this time here, the nations that were coming against Israel were what? The Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Egyptians. Later on, it would be the Romans, striking fear in all the people. The names have changed, but we've got China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, other countries that are causing stress, causing dismay, causing worry. The same God that was in charge then is the same God that's in charge now. And when you read chapter 32 of Jeremiah, he tells Jeremiah to do something that seemed foolish. The city was about to fall to the Babylonians. He tells Jeremiah to go out and buy a house. In the midst of this economic distress, and they're going to be exiled. It's worthless. You're going to waste your money. But God says, go out and buy a house. Put the deed in a clay jar. Hide it so that people can find it later. Because I want the people to know that one day this land is going to be restored. One day you'll be back here buying and selling land. I want you to be reminded of God's faithfulness. There's a song by Mercy Me. Their most famous song, of course, is I Can Only Imagine. One of my favorite songs of all time. But they have another song that really strikes to my heart. And it's called Even If. If you ever get a chance to listen to it on YouTube, you might listen to it. And this is how it goes. He says, they say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now, I'm losing bad. I've stood on this stage night after night reminding the broken it'll be all right. But right now, I just can't. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing. A little faith is all I have right now. But God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing. It is well with my soul. I know you're able, and I know you can. Save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. I know the sorrow, I know the hurt would all go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. You've been faithful. You've been good all the days of my life. Jesus, I will cling to you come what may, cause I know you're able. I know you can. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. When we look here, Jeremiah gives one more promise to the people that he's going to write a new law on a new covenant on their heart. It's going to be written in our hearts and our minds that one day that we will believe in God and that we are there to follow him. One of the commands that he gave Jeremiah was to tear down and destroy the idols and the things that are around them, keeping them from repentance. and to plant and build up. Are there things in your life that need to be torn down and destroyed so that God can take the rightful place of ownership in your life? Our world, tears are all around us. Some of those tears are tears of joy, and they're tears that come with us in the joyful times, but it seems there's a lot more tears as we get older with the loss of people that we love. But there's going to be a place where there's no more tears. Revelation 21:4 says, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more mourning, no more death, and no more tears through heaven. But if we don't choose that way, there's a place where all that there is tears. Total separation from God is hell. And it says there, Jesus tells his disciples, cast that servant out where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth for eternity. So the choice is ours. No more tears. Faith through Jesus, promise of eternity. Or to reject him like the Israelites did in exile into total separation where all it is tears. Weeping all the time. Jesus gives us the path. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then Peter said it this way, there is no other name found in anyone else under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. That name is Jesus. So the choice is yours. No tears, joy, happiness, eternity around God's throne, or eternal separation where there's nothing but tears. This morning, the song that I picked is The Balm of Gilead. The reason I picked that, it goes with Jeremiah chapter 8. But as you sing the song, pay attention to the verse, the three verses, the three stanzas, and you'll see why I picked it, because it is hope and encouragement to us that need it so desperately in this type of season.